We're studying today about the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and we're looking at Luke chapter 3 in our broadcast. We want to welcome each one of you to the program, and we hope that you can open your Bible right now and follow along with us as we read from Luke chapter 3 about the work of John the Baptist. And in particular this morning, we're going to look again at the baptism of John, the man who's called John the Baptist. We're looking at Luke chapter 3, verse 3. Here is where the Bible says, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Now, when you read Matthew chapter 3 and Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, you get a good picture about what John the Baptist's baptism was. What was the nature of it? What was the purpose of it? What was it for? All these things are answered, you see, in the Bible. So let's just go down a quick list here of some things that the Bible tells us about John's baptism. In the first place, it was in water. John's baptism was not a baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was not a baptism of fire. It was not a baptism of suffering. John the Baptist's baptism was a baptism in water. As a matter of fact, John himself specifically said in Matthew 3, verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." So John the Baptist did this work. He did this preaching and he did the baptizing at the Jordan River. So this was a baptism in water. We find also, because of the word baptism itself, that John's baptism was an immersion. And that means that when he baptized people, he took them into the Jordan River and he plunged them beneath the surface of the river. Because the word baptism means a plunging. It means an immersion. It means a submersion in the water. You see, sprinkling is not baptism according to the Bible. Pouring a little water on somebody's head is not baptism according to the Bible. The scriptures talk about baptism being a burial. Romans 6 verse 3 says that we are buried with him by baptism into death. So baptism then is the kind of procedure that we find in the Bible that required a lot of water. As a matter of fact, when you just look at the circumstances involved, it's very interesting to notice what's taking place when somebody's baptized. Now, for instance, in Acts chapter 8, when the Bible talks about the Ethiopian eunuch being baptized, do you remember what the scriptures tell us in Acts 8, verse 38 and 39? There the Bible says that Philip and the eunuch, both of them, went down into the water, and then he baptized him, that is, Philip baptized the eunuch, and then they came back up out of the water. Well, you had the same thing in the Jordan River. These people would go down into the Jordan River to be with John the Baptist, and then he would dip them, he would submerge them in that water. He would baptize them, and then they would come up out of the water and go back up on the bank, of course. You see, that brings up a question that we need to ask. And that is, why on earth would John the Baptist take people into a river, the Jordan River, if all he was going to do was get some of the water out of that river in his hands and sprinkle a little bit on people's heads or pour a little bit on their heads? Why didn't he just stay on the shore with them? Why not just get a container? Why even go down to the Jordan River if that's all you're going to do? You see, the circumstances just don't fit the idea of pouring or sprinkling a little bit of water on somebody's head, do they? And the same thing is true in Acts chapter 8. Why would Philip go down into the water with the eunuch if all he had to do was to take a little water and sprinkle it on his head or pour it on his head? Now, that doesn't absolutely prove the case for immersion, but it does cause you to question why people would go to that much trouble if all they were going to do was simply to sprinkle or to pour some water on somebody's head. Well, the bottom line, of course, to the whole issue is this. The word baptism means immersion. That is the meaning of the word, and that is how we ought to practice it and how we ought to regard it today. So it was a baptism in water, John the Baptist. Baptism was a baptism in water. It was immersion, and it was for adults. It was not for babies. It was not for small children that didn't even know the difference between right and wrong. You see, John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance. Repentance means that a person understands the difference between right and wrong, and he has decided that he's going to turn from his sins and turn to God. Now, how in the world can a little baby do that? Well, he can't. How can a small child do that? Well, he's not old enough to do that. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39, that the children and the little ones of the Israelites were not punished like the rest because they didn't have knowledge of good and evil. They had not grown to the point, they had not reached the age where they could discriminate between right and wrong. And so they were not held accountable. They were not punished like those other Israelites were. That's why we oftentimes call that the age of accountability. And it's not the same for every person, but it is that point in life where we do realize the nature of right and wrong and we're able to tell the difference. So John the Baptist's baptism was not for babies. John the Baptist never baptized a baby, and you will never read about any baby being baptized in the Bible. Let me repeat that. Infant baptism is nowhere mentioned in the Bible. You just won't find it. So John the Baptist baptized people who were grown, people who were adults. And it was a baptism of repentance. This is very important to stress. John the Baptist didn't say to these people that all they had to do was to be baptized in water and their sins would be removed and they would automatically go to heaven when they died, regardless of whether they had repented of their sins and changed their lives. No, John the Baptist said, if you're going to be saved, you have to repent of your sins. And water baptism is not going to do a person any good at all if that person does not repent. Just like water baptism is not going to do anybody any good if he doesn't believe. But if he does believe, if he's willing to repent, then water baptism is necessary for the forgiveness of sins. Now, that is also what we find here in Luke chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible plainly says here that John's baptism was for the remission of sins. Now, you find that expression two times in regard to John's baptism. You find it here in Luke chapter 3, verse 3, and you also find it in Mark chapter 1, verse 4. Both times, the Bible says that John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, for that reason, for that purpose, in order to have their sins forgiven. Now, you see, compare that expression to a couple of other instances in which we find those words in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Why did you shed your blood, Jesus? For the remission of sins, in order for people to obtain or to have the forgiveness of sins. And that is exactly the same expression that we find in Acts chapter 2. When Peter had preached to the people, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." The exact same expression that we find here in Luke chapter 3, verse 3, and Mark chapter 1, verse 4, in regard to the baptism of John. So you can see right away, folks, that John the Baptist is preparing the way. He is setting a precedent. He is establishing a pattern here because this same procedure of baptism in water is going to be practiced when the church is established. And so John is beginning to make people aware of this and to get people acquainted with this procedure that we find in the New Testament. So it was for the forgiveness of sins. It was in order for people to have their sins forgiven. Now, it did require faith. There's no question about that. If any of these people had come to John the Baptist and said, "Well, I don't really believe in God, but I want to be baptized in water by you. I think that'd be a good idea. and I want you to go ahead and do that, even though I really don't believe in God. Well, John the Baptist wouldn't have done that. There would have been no point in a person to be baptized if he doesn't believe, so they had to have faith. And the same thing is brought out in that story of the eunuch being baptized in Acts chapter 8. Because you see, as they were going on their way, the eunuch said to Philip, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And that's when Philip said to him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Now, what that, of course, implies is that if the eunuch did not believe, then it would do him no good whatsoever to be baptized. We have to have faith in order to make the baptism valid. Now, of course, what we find here is that John the Baptist is preaching, as we said, in the preparatory stage. He is announcing the coming of the Messiah, and he's announcing that the church or the kingdom is about to be established. But Jesus did not die on the cross during John the Baptist's lifetime. Jesus did not set up the church while John the Baptist was alive. John the Baptist died before the church was established. That's very important to remember. John the Baptist was never in the church. He never lived to see the establishment of it. Remember, Herod had him beheaded. The Bible talks about that later in the book of Luke and also in Matthew and in Mark. But you see, that death of John the Baptist occurred before Acts chapter 2, before Jesus even died on the cross, and before the church was established. So what does that mean about John's baptism? Well, that tells us that John's baptism did not put one or place one into the church. Now you see, with the baptism of the Great Commission, with the baptism that is preached on Pentecost Day, we find that that baptism did put one into Christ or into his body, the church. Because Galatians 3:27 says, "As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So today, we are to be baptized into Christ. Those people that were baptized by John the Baptist were not baptized into the church because it had not been established at that point. So John the Baptist's baptism was temporary. And we find in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, that some men who had been baptized with the understanding of John the Baptist's baptism after the church had been established had to be rebaptized so that they could be added to the Lord's church. That's Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. Well, tomorrow we're going to look more at Luke chapter 3, and we're going to talk about the preaching and the work of this great man, John the Baptist, and we hope that you can join us then. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the day.